Thank you. All right, you guys just listened to God Save the Queen by Sex Pistols, My Generation by The Who, and Zombie by The Cranberries, which I love Zombie. Hold on. My, like, headphones got disconnected. I'll fix it later. Anyways, a big conversation that I kind of found when I was researching the show and kind of deciding on what to talk about was where does artists in general, whether that be a musician, an author, a painter, a sculptor, where does their, responsibility lie in being political and sharing their political opinions and expressing it through art? And do artists have a responsibility to be political? And, I think that all of the greatest art is political. I think all art is political, whether, you know it or not. I just recently saw conversation kind of discourse about Sabrina Carpenter, who, you could argue is not political at all. Sabrina is a pop star. She sings songs that are fun and they're sexy and, she's there for a good time. But she just recently released a video for her music video or for her song House Tour, which has a lot of innuendos in it, right? Like, there's a lot of metaphors in it that could be, taken a different way. And in the video, she, and her two friends are seen as, like, robbers, and they're robbing a house. And the person who was talking in this video that I was listening to was kind of saying how she kind of flips the script because, she's depicting how sometimes people will, take and pillage and, take from, something that, like a body that is, taken care of, and will just leave it and go on to the next person. And it's kind of like this commentary on how, people will, not appreciate, perhaps, a partner or relationship and just kind of pillage it and then go to the next person without really thinking. And, she's actually really smart for, the ways that she's kind of demonstrating this, because, it's fun. It's a music video. Madeline Klein's in it. But, artists are smart. They know how to be political without saying it. But some music is explicitly political. Some books are explicitly political. I'm thinking of Fahrenheit 451. It's about banned books, and a lot of African American literature is explicit in its, tellings of how people are treated in this country. And I think that I don't think there's necessarily a responsibility on all artists to create political art. But I think it is a responsibility as consumers to consume political art and to try and understand it, even if we don't maybe necessarily agree with it, but to gain a new perspective from it. But yeah, I think everything does have meaning. I think that there is, some things really aren't that deep, maybe in life. But I think all art is deep. I think even the silliest kind of pop song that's on the radio or, sorry, I'm losing my voice as we speak. My whole apartment is sick and I told them to stay away from me and they all were like, "No, Grace, it's just allergies. We're not sick. It's just allergies." And now look at this. Where was I going? Even the silliest pieces of media that are put out there, whether that be writing, music, movies, TV, whatever, are going to have some sort of meaning, because even if they're cheap and meant as a distraction, that's a reflection of, the timeline that we live in and the society that we live in, that's quick and no attention span and whatever. Anyways, I digress. We can talk more about this, but I have a lot of good songs today that I really do want to play and tell you why they were banned. So next up, we have some pretty explicitly political songs that were banned for political reasons. And the first is Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 by Pink Floyd, which is one of my favorites by Pink Floyd off of their album The Wall, which was banned in South Africa in May 1980 by the apartheid government because it was adopted by black school children as an anthem against the country's unequal education system. The song, with its lyrics, "We don't need no education and we don't need no thought control," became a rallying cry against abusive state-mandated education during protests. It also, South Africa had a strict ban, but the song was also criticized in the UK by the Inner London Education Authority and disliked by officials like Margaret Thatcher, the milk snatcher, for its critique of the school system. The ban was lifted with the fall of the apartheid regime in the early 1990s. Then we have, and this one really surprised me, Imagine by John Lennon was banned by government, my multiple governments, but it faced restrictions and airplays bans by broadcasters, notably Clear Channel Communications after 9/11 and the BBC in 1991, because its lyrics were seen as anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, and unpatriotic during times of war. Critics viewed the song's themes of no countries or religion as dangerous and subversive. And then we're going to listen to Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed, which was a 1972 hit and banned or censored by various radio stations for its explicit references to taboo subjects, including transgender people, drug use, male prostitution. And the song candidly portrays characters from Andy Warhol's factory scene, which was deemed too controversial for mainstream audiences at the time. Yeah. So we'll listen to these three and then we'll be back, but we'll start you off with some Pink Floyd.
Room. Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. She was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do. Gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fashion. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot do 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 do. Thank you.
Okay, guys, you just listened to Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2 by Pink Floyd, Imagine by John Lennon, and Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. Guys, genuinely, like, the cord that connects my headphones to the microphone disappeared into thin air. I am not even kidding. I don't know where it went. Like, I don't know if someone snuck in when I was turned around and took it, or, like, I, like, literally don't know where it is. So, I've been crawling around the live room for about the past two songs looking for it. I don't know where it is. So, I can't hear myself talk now, but if you can't hear me, I guess just shoot me a text. Yeah, I mean, art is political. Songs are political. Censorship, I think, isn't going to go away. No matter what, you know, administration we have, or whether your state is blue or red or whatever, like, there's always going to be people that challenge the ideas that art puts forward, because art makes people uncomfortable. Like, my favorite English professor that I've had always said, like, he loves media. Like, he was a TV writer for a while. I'm taking his class right now about, like, Aaron Sorkin and, like, the stuff that Aaron Sorkin has written. And he, you know, has a quote. He says, like, there's a quote, like, if you have your audience laughing or crying, you've got them. And, you know, I think art is like that too. Like, it's, if it's making us uncomfortable or it's making us feel something, then it's doing the work that it's supposed to be doing. And I just can't stress enough that, like, you should read banned books. You should listen to political music and banned music and be curious. I think that's, like, an overarching theme in this show in general, is, like, you should be more curious about the things that you're consuming and about, like, the history behind them. And, like, there is a lot of value in just taking something at face level and, like, listening to a song and having your own interpretation of what it means and how it relates to your life. But there's also a lot of value in, you know, that was really fun for me planning this show, being like, why was this song banned? Like, I didn't know about some of these, like, you know, I could not, like, comprehend why Imagine by John Lennon was banned, or, you know, Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison. And we have, you know, coming up later, I might play, or not, I don't know if we run out of time, but God Only Knows by the Beach Boys was banned because the word God is in it. Like, disregarding the whole rest of the meaning of the song, it was banned because, you know, people were like, it says God and you should not mix God in rock music, which is crazy. But it's fun to find out, you know, why songs were written. I mean, this started out with, I was curious why Teenage Dirtbag was written, the story behind that, why things are written, what they're inspired by, what they mean, what their deeper meaning is. And it's fun to figure those things out. So be curious, read banned books, listen to banned music, I guess, is my message for today. We're going to do a few fun ones. It might be a little bit more, maybe, like, you can guess why they were banned. But we're going to do a series of ladies that I love. Some Katy Perry, some Madonna, and the Chicks. And we have I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry, which wasn't fully banned, but it was barred from certain radio stations because you shouldn't be kissing girls. And and then we have both by Madonna, Like a Virgin and Like a Prayer, which were, you know, a little too sexy for the radio, and, you know, innuendos and stuff like that. And then Goodbye Earl by the Chicks, which I've put in between the two Madonna songs because it's about killing your husband, and patriarchy doesn't like that. So we're going to listen to these four. I'm going to try and find this headphone jack because I literally, it disappeared into thin air. I don't know who took it. Like, so hopefully I find it, but I will see you guys after these four, and we're going to start off with some Katy.
Yeah. both members of the 4-H Club, both active in the FFA. After graduation, Marianne went out looking for a bright new world. Wanda looked all around this town and all she found was Earl. Well, it wasn't 2 weeks after she got married that Wanda started getting abused. She put on dark glasses, long sleeve blouses, and makeup to cover her bruise. Well, she finally got the nerve to file for divorce. She let the law take it from there. But Earl walked right through that restraining order and put her in intensive care. Wrapped up in that tar, Earl.
All right, you guys just listened to I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry, Like a Virgin by Madonna, Goodbye Earl by The Chicks, and Like a Prayer, also by Madonna. To close out today, I wanted to make... I wanted to explain something that I was first kind of confused by when I first learned about banning books a while ago and stuff like that. And it's, does it violate the First Amendment? Because is it unconstitutional? Because that was my first thought, like, freedom of speech, you know, freedom of press, whatever. But, like, being able to read something feels adjacent to freedom of speech. And it kind of boils down to, like, there's no singular definition of what constitutes book banning. So, like, it could be being made unavailable in its entirety by someone or at least one school, a library, a bookstore, other than the author. This includes cases of prior restraint where a government body prevents the publication or distribution of a book, even if temporarily. This definition also includes situations where private actors, such as private schools, make the book entirely unavailable, even though this will not violate the First Amendment because there's no government action involved, like Harry Potter not being available at my elementary school. Other book restrictions may refer to government or private action that makes it harder to access the book but doesn't amount to an outright ban. Book bans, like teachers being told they cannot include a certain book in a curriculum, students below a certain age or grade being told they cannot check the book out of the school library, or requiring parental permission for some or all students to read the book as defined above, occur mainly because parents or community members challenge a book. The act of challenging a book is not the same as banning, removing, or restricting access to the book, even if it ultimately results in an access restriction or removal. In fact, a person challenging a book is also exercising their First Amendment rights of free speech and petition by requesting government action. So is it unconstitutional? Well, that depends. Removing a book from a public school curriculum or library or restricting access for some students may violate the First Amendment rights of students and others who have a right to receive information and ideas contained in those books. However, First Amendment protections only apply when these actions are taken by public schools or other government officials. And these actions only violate the First Amendment if a government official removes a book or restricts access to it because they dislike the ideas or disagree with the viewpoints contained in that book. This is known as viewpoint discrimination, and this is why obscenity has been so argued about the interpretation of that. You know it when you see it, because, you know, if you label it as obscene, you're like, that's obscene. But, the definition of obscene is so broad and misconstrued, then it makes it a little bit easier to argue in court. First Amendment protections only apply when these actions... we talked about this. So it can violate the First Amendment, but it doesn't have to. And most book access controversies arise in the context of public schools. Some school decision makers advocating book removals contend, among other things, that certain books are too frank or candid in discussing topics such as LGBTQ+ themes, sexuality, violence, drug use, witchcraft. They also assert that books with topics such as race, gender, and sexual orientation are too advanced for school-age children and therefore inappropriate for school curriculum or library. Yeah, so, you know, there's disagreement about when removing or otherwise restricting access to a book relies on the First Amendment. And the Supreme Court has addressed the issue of student access to books, which we've talked about kind of in a book banning sense, but also about public school libraries in Board of Education Island Trees Union Freed School District No. 26 versus PICO. In 1975, the school board in the Long Island, New York community of Island Trees issued an unofficial direction that 10 books should be removed entirely from the libraries of a local public high school. The school board pushed to remove an 11th book from a 12th grade literature course curriculum. The board described the books as anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-Semitic, and just plain filthy. And these books were Slaughterhouse-Five, The Naked Ape, Down These Mean Streets, The Best Short Stories by Negro Writers, Go Ask Alice, Laughing Boy, Black Boy, A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich, Soul on Ice, A Reader for Writers, and The Fixer. The school board, without giving any specific reason, rejected this. So people are always going to have issues with stuff that's being read. Does it violate the First Amendment? technically, it depends, I guess. It depends on who's taking the action, why they're banning the book. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say it again and again. Read anything that is looking to be restricted, because there's probably some pretty crazy ideas in there and some important stuff. That's all I have to say about that. Okay, we're going to listen to two songs because I really want to listen to them. We're going to listen to, also just because it's one of my favorite songs, God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, which, as we have talked about, was banned because the word God is in it. That's literally it. It's a great song. Otherwise, makes me think of Love Actually. And then we're going to listen to Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus, which I know we listened to in the Cool episode a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to listen to it again because this is kind of the song that inspired the whole episode. And that's all the songs that I put on the playlist. The only one we didn't get to was Light My Fire by the Doors, but that's 7 minutes anyway. So, yeah. We'll start you off with some Beach Boys and then some Wheatus, and then I will say goodbye.
But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. Show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
It's prom night and I am lonely, lo and behold, she's walking over to me, this must be fake. My lip starts to shake. How does she know who I am? And why does she give a damn about?
I've got 2 tickets to Iron Maiden, baby. Come with me Friday, don't say maybe. I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby, like you.
You guys just listened to God Only Knows by the Beach Boys and Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus. Also, I did find the headphone jack. Not the original one. I don't know where it went, but I went into the storage and found a new one. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I will see you guys next week. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I've used up all the ideas that I had in my reserves, so I've got to come up with some new ones. And I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. I will be posting the link to the recorded show on Off the Shelf WMUC if you want to give it a follow. You don't have to, but it's pretty cool over there. And I will see you guys next Wednesday at 10 a.m. or 10:05. No, I'll be there at 10. I promise. Bye. Love ya. Oh, and as always, you're listening to WMUC Digital College Park, where college radio means good radio. Love you.